Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but can thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries. And as always, it's an absolute honor and a privilege to have you with us again. It really is. Now, what's on our schedule for our 30-minute time together today? Well, first of all, during our radio seminar time, you are going to discover a bit about the pain that you experience when you violate God's financial principles. This means that we are going to be talking about financial bondage. We're going to define it. We're going to take a look at some of the symptoms of financial bondage, some of the root causes, and most importantly, we're going to see that there are some things that we can do about it. So, financial bondage, it's going to be a good time together. Next, we have a couple of great family money issue questions. Two questions directed to whether we should help our adult children who are still living at home. That ought to be interesting. And then, unfortunately, or fortunately, we have a new scam alert for you. And then finally, we're going to have another minute with Maxwell as John talks to us about the word fear. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be a great time together. And as we start, let me pray for us. Father, thank you for meeting with us again today. And please continue to give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Not too long ago during our radio seminar times together, we talked about how God does and does not use money. Now, let's consider what happens if we choose to use wealth in ways that are not consistent with God's will. Let's take a look at something that we call financial bondage. We're going to define it. We're going to take a look at some of the symptoms, what it looks like. How do we know that we have it? We'll take a look at the causes, some of the real problems. And then finally, we're going to see what we can do about it. That's where we're going. Let's start with financial bondage. What is it exactly? What is it? Well, very simply, as we define financial bondage, it is an attitude more than it is a condition. You see, financial bondage is when we choose to focus on wealth, even wealth according to God's definition. It is when we choose to focus on anything or anyone else above or more than our relationship with God. And remember, wealth according to God's definition, well, it includes a whole lot more than just the cash in our billfold, purse, and checking and savings accounts, right? You remember that. It also includes the material stuff that we have in our life, such as our homes and cars and clothes and jewelry and all of the rest. But listen, remember that it also includes things like our time, our talents, our abilities, our skills. It includes our relationships, the fact that we're a mom or a dad, a husband or a wife, an employer or an employee. These are all things that we need to give our attention to, but not at the expense of our relationship with God. We are headed in the direction of financial bondage when any or some or maybe even all of the material things of our life get in the way of our relationship with God. And by the way, let me give you a couple of other important things to think about here. We can have a whole lot of money. We can have a whole lot of money and still be in financial bondage. As a matter of fact, we may not owe anyone anything, and we can still be in financial bondage. You see, what can happen is that we drift from God's will, and we may not even realize it. You see, we drift because of our attitude, because of our focus, not because of the amount or the value that we have or we have been given, okay? So that is what financial bondage is. It is, well, it's an attitude. It's the choice that we make to set the material areas of our lives above our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what financial bondage is, but what does financial bondage, well, what does it look like? I mean, what are some of the symptoms of financial bondage? Well, we've already covered some of these somewhat in prior times together, but let's just take another quick look, okay? I mean, here are some of the symptoms of financial bondage. Now, see if any of these may hit altogether too close to home, okay? Symptoms of financial bondage. First of all, number one, well, financial bondage usually, not all the time, but usually results from having either too much debt, a preoccupation with wealth, or it happens when you misuse money. Now, these are the three most common symptoms of financial bondage, but there are a lot more. For example, worry. Worry can be a symptom of financial bondage. I mean, uncontrolled anxiety over things like, well, like your retirement, job security, old age, and total health. Anger, I mean, do you have periodic emotional flare-ups linked to periodic financial flare-ups? Sometimes flare-ups based upon the fact that somebody else has something you wish that you would have had, okay? So you've got worry, anger. Listen, greed. Greed is also a symptom of financial bondage. It's simply the attitude of always wanting the more, the biggest, the best, the brightest, or what someone else has. If you have resentment, well, you're headed in the direction of financial bondage. This is when, listen, resentment is when we blame somebody else for our financial condition. You know, I didn't get that job because that employer didn't like me, right? I mean, I got fired from that job, not because of anything that I did or said, but because some customer created a false impression about me. You know, resentment is blaming somebody else for the condition that we happen to be in. Self-indulgence, you know, that's simply buying things with little or no utility. Hey, listen, did you realize that poor record-keeping, I mean, not balancing your checkbook or not living on a budget, these are also symptoms of financial bondage, okay? These are all symptoms, okay? Now, let's review, just so we can back up again. Let's review. First of all, you know, it's when we have too much wealth, we're preoccupied with money, too much debt, we worry, anger, we have greed, resentment, self-indulgent, poor record-keeping. All of these, my friend, all of these are symptoms of financial bondage. Now, the Bible tells us, and I think there's a good verse that kind of brings all of this together for it. I'm sure you've heard it. It's 1 Timothy 6:10. Anybody know what 1 Timothy 6:10 is all about? For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And again, that's 1 Timothy 6:10. A couple of interesting things just to look at as a sign here. First of all, notice it doesn't say that money is the root of all evil, right? It doesn't say that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And you see, it's love. It's the attitude. It has nothing to do with the amount or the value. And my friend, this love, according to the Bible, this love has the tendency to drive you away from your relationship with God. And as a result, the problems that you're often going to face are always going to be self-inflicted. So these are all symptoms of financial bondage. But what are the causes? What are the spiritual problems that lead us into financial bondage? All right? Well, I'm going to give you three. There are more than that, but here are three that are pretty all-encompassing, okay? Three things that can lead us into financial bondage. And the very first one is financial ignorance. Proverbs 24:3-4 tells us, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." You see, my friend, we get into trouble for the most part not because we are stupid. No. But because we just don't know what God's word has to say. Remember, there are over 3,000 1,000 different verses that talk about money, how to spend it, how to use it, save it, invest it, and all the rest. We don't know what God's word says. That can be a problem. Lead us into financial bondage. You see, we need to remember that it is God's wisdom and God's knowledge that we lack, and that he promises to give us both if we are to but ask. So, first cause, what can be one of the main causes of financial bondage? It can be the fact that we are in the midst of financial ignorance. We don't know because we don't ask. We're not in God's word. Now, another cause of financial bondage, it comes from our attitudes. Most specifically, wrong attitudes, okay? James 3:16 tells us that, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice." My friend, if you have the attitude that says, "Man, I've got to have it," or "I truly deserve it," well, then you better watch out, because, my friend, that is not the attitude of a steward. That is not the attitude of a manager of what belongs to God. So three primary causes of financial bondage. We have financial ignorance. We have wrong attitudes. And finally is poor planning. Poor planning can also help financial bondage along in our life, okay? Do you remember Proverbs 16:9? Well, Proverbs 16:9 says this: "In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." Now, you know what's a big problem for many of us in the body of Christ today? According to this verse, the scripture tells us that no matter how poorly we plan our lives, no matter how much we mess up our lives, the Lord can choose to make good of our lives by redirecting our steps. That's part of what this verse says. However, the Lord, my friend, the Lord does not want just mere spectators on his team. No, he does not. Listen, he wants participants. He wants you and me. He wants us to come down out of the grandstands. He wants us to suit up and get on the field and get into the game. Listen, he wants us to become involved in short run and long run planning. So this is financial bondage. This is how we define it as an attitude, some of the symptoms, and what are some of the underlying problems or causes. Now, that's the bad news. Now, the good news is that if you recognize that you, or maybe you and your family, are in or headed into financial bondage, there are actions you can take. Listen, my friend, according to the Bible, there are things that can be done about financial bondage. Remember, there is always hope. There are always solutions to spiritual problems. There is a way out. I mean, that's what 1 Corinthians 10:13 is all about, right? "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." My friend, you see, there are ways out, okay? And during our next radio seminar time together, you're going to discover four steps that can lead you and your family away from, even out of, financial bondage. That's going to be next time, so don't miss it. Now, recall as we head into our question and answer time together, recall that what we're doing is laying a groundwork for a seminar that we're going to offer this fall in our Young Harris Office Alive seminar. The title of the seminar is going to be, now listen, I think this is going to be good, "How to Raise Money-Wise Children and Grandchildren God's Way." Okay, now that seminar is going to be October 29th and 30th, 3 hours in the evening on Friday night, 3 hours in the morning on Saturday. And we're doing this because, you see, many Christian families today are struggling with a whole bunch of financial issues that range from, well, for example, whether to pay their children allowances, or maybe even should they charge their grown children who are living at home. And as a matter of fact, that is a great place to start. So let's start right there. Here is a great real-world question. Bob, should I help my adult son who still lives at home? Although he is working, he is not helping with any of the household expenses. It seems to me like he is always spending his money and then asking me for help financially. And as a widow, I still have enough money to be able to help, but I'm beginning to wonder if I should. Wow, now that's a great question. And listen, by the way, that's a great chance to plug another one of our seminars that's going to be coming up. The title of this seminar is Widowhood, What to Do Before and After. And again, that's going to be this fall. More information to come, okay? But back to the question. How should this widow help train her adult son? Well, my prayerful advice would be, first of all, to be very, very cautious. I mean, why so cautious? Well, because history shows that it is possible to cripple your son by helping him too much. If you're going to help him, then you need to require some accountability from him. Plus, if your son is wasting his money and if he's getting further and further into debt and you keep bailing him out, well, then you're going to need to learn to exercise some restraint. If he is incapable of handling his own finances, well, then what you need to do is to get someone to work with him very closely, such, for example, as a volunteer counselor from your church. You could always go to Crown Financial Ministries. You could use our office in Young Harris. And you could also refer him to the Dave Ramsey Organization for some fee-based help. But this person is not just for your son. This counselor or financial coach is going to be for you as well. See, what you need to do is to talk to this counselor, talk to this coach, and do what he or she directs. In other words, if the counselor suggests that you help him, well, then you continue to help. However, if the counselor says to back off just a little bit and not help, or not help as much, well, you need to be willing to do that as well. You see, many parents say that they are willing to step back until a hard situation comes up, and then they cave in to the emotional pressures to help out. Remember, God's word says that he disciplines those he loves. Now, sometimes Charles Dobson used to say this all the time. You need to have some tough love sometimes, right? Sometimes tough love is the best way to help manage this kind of situation. Now, the Bible says, those whom I love, this is God speaking, those who I love, I rebuke and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, I will tell you, that is a great word from Revelation 3:19. So, to our widow friend, I suggest prayerful caution and get some help. Now, second question. Let's turn the tables just a little bit and consider this second question. Here it is. Should I help my mother handle her money? She isn't handling it very well and is constantly getting into debt and then asking me to help her. Now, I don't mind helping my mother. I love her, but I wonder if I am doing the right thing. Now, this, my friend, is another great question. How so? Well, from my personal experience, it's very hard for children to give financial advice to their parents. Mary, listen, perhaps it would be best for you to work through a third party. Perhaps you should go to your pastor and ask if he or she knows someone in the church who can help your mom better manage her finances. And if he does, if she does, well, then encourage your mom to meet and ask for and receive some help. And again, if there is no counselor at your church, you can contact Crown Financial Ministries. You can contact the Dave Ramsey Organization. You can get a hold of our local Christian Financial Ministries office in Young Harris. Mary, listen. Scripture, yes, it is true that Scripture does command that we honor our parents. This is true. It does. However, that does not mean to feed their weaknesses. If your mom is not handling her money properly, especially if she's being frivolous with it, then, well, if you continue to help by giving her more and more, which she clearly can't manage, you are not helping her solve the problem. You're only helping make the problem worse. A third party, a good financial coach, just might be the answer to your situation. Ouch. It's time for another scam alert. This scam is called the emergency scam from the Better Business Bureau, okay? How does the scam work? Well, according to the Better Business Bureau, emergency scams are all about a family member or a friend who is purported to be in a dire situation. And what happens is that you get a phone call, you get an email, maybe you get a social media message from someone claiming to be a family member, and that this family member is in some kind of distress. They may say they've been arrested. You know, arrested while traveling overseas. They need some help. Or maybe there's been an accident. Maybe there's a medical emergency or some other calamity. And they provide some convincing details, such as family names and school details, even nicknames. Listen, a common version of the emergency scam is the grandparent scam. And this is where the con artist contacts a grandparent claiming to be their grandchild and asking for money. Now, the plea is so persuasive, and these cons, they're experts. They can communicate. And their plea is so persuasive that the grandparent wires money to the scammer only to find out later that the family member is safe and sound and has been all along. Now, this scam, by the way, can also work in reverse, where the grandparent calls their grandchildren asking for help. So that's what it is. Now, what can you do to avoid emergency scams? Well, three things. First of all, resist the urge to act immediately, no matter how dynamic, how dramatic the story is. What are you going to do instead? Well, you're going to check out the story with other family members and friends. You know, but hang up or close a message and call your loved one directly. And do not call the phone number provided by the caller or the caller ID. And then when you're talking to them, you got to ask questions that would be hard for an imposter to answer correctly. So the first thing to do to avoid the emergency scam is to resist the urge to act immediately. Now, secondly, you got to know what your family members are sharing online. Now, you may not have control over your family's social media accounts, but it's important for you to know what's going on. What are they sharing? And number three, do not wire any money if there is any doubt about the call. I mean, if you do wire the money and later realize that it's been a fraud, you've been scammed, well, then what you need to do is contact the police. All right? Okay, so there you have it. You now know all about the emergency scam and how to avoid it. And again, great information from the Better Business Bureau. Wow. Man, our time is really marching on along, but I want to make sure that we do save out time for our Minute with Maxwell. Now, remember that John Maxwell is a number one New York Times bestselling author and coach and speaker, and he is considered the world's most influential leadership expert. This is one of my favorite times together. So today, let's see what John Maxwell has to say about the word fear.
Today's word on Minute with Maxwell is fear. So many people are frozen by fear. What I found about our fears is that they keep us from reaching our potential. I've never met a fearful person that achieved a lot in their life. I've met a lot of fearful people who did not and held back and never discovered what they could be or what they could do because they became a prisoner of their own fears. If that's your life, I just want to say to you, look at the downside. You will never be what you want to be. You will never see what you want to see. You will never achieve what you want to achieve as long as fear is dominant in your life. Fear is what causes people to make excuses. Fear is what causes people to stop short of their potential. How do you change that? Increase your faith. Once your faith, a positive emotion, becomes greater than your fear, a negative emotion, you'll begin to act on faith and be controlled by faith and not your fears. The moment that you are there, you now begin to have potential to reach your potential. Fear holds you back, faith lets you go. Fear holds you down, faith releases you up. Feed your faith, Starve your fears. It'll work.
Thank you, John. Boy, that was yet another great minute with Maxwell, wasn't it? This time he was giving us some words of wisdom about the word fear. Now, I don't know about you, but what I got out of this was that we are not to allow fear to hold us back. That fear stunts our growth, it limits our potential, and it fights against our success. That's fear. It's not good. We need to dump it. Thank you, John Maxwell. Okay, that just about wraps up our time together today. Recall where we've been during the last 30 minutes? First of all, during our radio seminar time together, well, you discovered a bit about the pain that you experience when you violate God's financial principles. We talked about financial bondage. And the first thing that we did, well, the first thing was to define financial bondage as an attitude more than an action. You see, we place ourselves into financial bondage when we have the attitude that anything or anyone deserves our attention more than God. Financial bondage is an attitude, all right? And then we took a look at some of the symptoms of financial bondage. What does it look like? Well, it can look like such things as having too much debt, excessive worry or anger, greed, resentment, covetousness, self-indulgence. These are all symptoms of financial bondage. But then what were the three main problems that lead us into financial bondage? What are the three most common causes of financial bondage? Well, remember the first is financial ignorance. We simply do not know what we need to know about what God has to say about money. And by the way, if you've been with us for a while, you'll remember that we learned that God has quite a bit to say about money. I mean, there are over 3,000 different verses in the Bible that talk about money. You know, how to make it, store it, spend it, invest it, give it, and on and on and on. Now, recall that God spends more time talking about money than any other single subject in the Bible except the subject of love. Love. So the first problem is financial ignorance. He has a lot to say. We don't know it. We get into financial bondage. Now, the second most common cause of financial bondage is our ungodly attitudes. Basically, our stinking thinking when it comes to money and material management. And finally, the last cause of financial bondage has got to be poor planning. You know, God calls us to prayerfully plan every area of our walk with Him to include our financial walk. Now, during our next time together, we're going to be talking about how to keep from getting into financial bondage in the first place and how to get out of it once you're there. Okay, that's financial bondage. That was during our seminar time. Then during our Q&A time together, we learned how to possibly work with an adult child who still lives at home with his parents, and we had a great question from a daughter that needed advice on how to help her mom handle finances. You learned a little bit about the emergency scam that's going around and how to avoid it. And finally, well, we just had a great minute with Maxwell about the word fear. Now, as we close, before I pray, what I want to do, I want to remind you again to please check out our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. This is where you're going to find out all about Christian Financial Ministries, our office in Young Harris, all of the seminars, all of the online things that we offer, all of the live seminars that are coming up. You can even learn about our year-long Financial Freedom God's Way online academy, where you not only learn, but learn how to teach. So, and you know, you can become a certified coach. My friend, what I want to do now, I want to thank you again for being here with us. Let me close us in prayer. Father God, I thank you for bringing us together again today and for each of the days yet to come. To your glory, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, what I want you to do is to have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.